Bible says in Titus chapter number 2, verse number 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." In this present world, looking for a blessed hope and a glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior, Jesus Christ. If I could take just a few minutes here, I'm going to take just a few minutes here and preach on God's expectation for this present world. God's expectation in this present world. If you will, lift your hands one more time and ask God to anoint me. Amen. Hallelujah. If I could, hallelujah, thinking about this thought, it's a real simple thought. And I was thinking about the fundamentals. God's been dealing with me just about the fundamentals of Christianity, because so many times I'm a youth pastor, and I've gained knowledge that we have this form of godliness amongst our youth, and we have this ideal of what holiness is, but we lack the fundamentals of salvation, sanctification, and the deity of Christ, and how come we have to have the Holy Ghost, and how come we live a separated life. And this should just be one of those fundamental messages, if you'll just bear with me just a few minutes here. We have here the book of Titus, written by Paul unto Titus. It was one of the two books that Paul written to an individual that was a preacher. And we know here in the book of Titus, he was writing, and he said that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. Hallelujah. Bringing salvation. Now we know that this is a very critical time, and the time of salvation he is talking about here. We know that he's talking about right after salvation. Here's a few things that I want you to take notice of. Right after you get saved, this is what you need to take and do. And if I could just a few minutes describe to you my venue, I might not be preaching to some of you I've been in the faith for a long time, but it's right here, maybe just for the new converts today, maybe just for those that have just come into salvation. If you don't know this, go ahead and just pay attention just a little bit. But he said the first thing here, the salvation, it brings a purity. It brings a separated life, but also it brings a sanctification, a denying of self, a denying of ungodliness, a denying of worldly lust, as Paul said. That worldly lust is only that thing that draws us out into the world. We must deny that in order to be wholly pure and wholly sanctified before God. It's just a simple thing. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. That worldly lust means anything outside of the sanctification of God, outside of the deity of God. Very simple message here. I wish you'd bear with me just a minute. Hallelujah. The denial of itself in separation. The Bible says salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness. The first thing salvation will do is it will separate you from your sin. My friend, if you think you have an experience with God, yet have not separated yourself from the world, you are sorely, sorely mistaken. Salvation does one thing. It purifies and separates. According to the word of God, it brings a new man. He said, "Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I'm so glad that one day I laid my sins on the altar and I come up a new man in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things will become new. Hallelujah. Praise God. Feel a little better here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ungodliness, anything that is not godly is worldly. Ungodliness simply means being in the state of denying God what he has to do in your life. Ungodliness, denying God's sovereignty, denying God's lordship, denying what God can do in your life, denying ungodliness. Hallelujah. We know we have this scripture here, and it's very, very simple. But it goes on to tell you, it says teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live. Now that thing, live, is a very, very fundamental word. It means to continually maintain or be in a state of being. To live is what he said here. I believe Paul was we knew several languages, a very educated man of his time, possibly the most educated apostle to ever walk the pages of literature. We know that he knew what he was saying and he knew what he was writing. Brother Scott, he knew exactly what he was writing. And I don't believe Paul made a mistake when he said to live, to maintain. To continually. I'm an English major at BSU, and that thing means the continual state. That verb is the continual, to live, to maintain. Just as he said, be ye filled. That word to be filled means to continually be filled. He said, out of your bellies shall flow. Not be flowed, not half flowed, but shall flow. Continually flow. We know it's a continual state of living. Continually, he said, live soberly. Now we have an ideal here of what sober must be. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, help me. What sober soberness must be. He said to live sober. He said to live sober. Now, my idea of what we've always said was sober, we've always asked, we've had, well, been in restaurants before, and a man come up and they ask you for money. He said, well, are you sober? Are you off the bottle? That's what we ask him. Soberness. Soberness means awareness. If you're not sober, you must be drunk. And we're not talking about that new wine right here, but we're talking about being drunk. When you're drunk, you're staggering around. If I could talk just a minute here about staggering around and not being aware of your surroundings. But Paul said, you need to live soberly. Be aware of everything that is around you. Be aware of everything. Be aware of the problems of life, the situations, my friend. If we're living in a generation that is not aware of anything else but self, that is not aware of anything else but I want. But my friend, he said, deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We are to live soberly in this present world. To live soberly aware in the Holy Ghost. My friend, we live in the Spirit. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We deny ourselves and live soberly, aware of everything with us. And if you live soberly, you follow the Spirit. You follow the Spirit. You fulfill the Spirit's words. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said to live soberly. Be aware of everything around you. Hallelujah. I've been walking through Walmart before. Hallelujah. And look over there. And it seemed like, and this is not boasting without myself, and I've heard several others say, hallelujah. I need to talk to that man about something. Living soberly. Living soberly. Living that awareness. Living in the Spirit. Don't have to talk about it. Time to talk about all that. We're looking for Brother Scott in just a minute. But live soberly. Live aware. He said, deny ungodliness and worldly lust. He said to live soberly. Live aware of everything around you. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit of God. Walk in the godliness thereof. To have the power. My friend, we're living in a day and age which we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. We've denied the power of God. We've denied the power of the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts, to follow the Spirit of God. I can tell you one thing today. We need to live soberly. We need to live aware of everything that is around us that we may better fulfill the Word of God. Preaching on, hallelujah, what God expects in this present world, God's expectation in this present world. I told you it'd be simple. Next thing he says, hallelujah, the next thing he said, it says, hallelujah, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously. Soberly and righteously, without blame, without spot, without blemish. How many know that when Jesus returns, he'll be looking for a bride that is living righteous, that is living holy, that is not necessarily maintaining a standard of holiness. Yes, that's right. But living upright before God in heart, not just in dress, in spirit, not just in our attitude, not just in our outward expression, in attitude. My friend, we've met so many people throughout this land, and they'll tell you, I don't want holiness. They showed some of the worst spirits that I've ever seen in my life. I said, that's not holiness. That's not my God. That's not the Spirit of righteousness. That's not the Spirit of Christ. My friend, we live in this most soberly and righteously before God. Hallelujah, righteously. To be called about, to be separated. My friend, that righteousness is what everyone else sees. My dad's always taught me, he said, you may not always tell everybody about Christ, but that life that you live, that righteous life, that separated life of godliness, that Christ-like spirit, that when somebody asks you, Brother Dwayne, what you know about Christ, you'd be willing to tell them, well, I know he's a Savior. I know he saves from sin. I know my God saves and he delivers. And wherever you're at today, God will do it. My friend, I'm talking about living righteously. Hallelujah. Living righteously in this present world. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Living righteously. Praise God. The next thing he says, hallelujah. So many times, I'll tell you this. Something God dealt with me about a few Sundays ago. I was talking and God exhorting a little bit, Brother John, in the Sunday school class. God's been helping in our Sunday school class and just moving around. God exhorting a little bit. And we have in this hour, I think it's already been said a few times, we have this mentality of it's okay to talk about Christ in here, but when we get out there, it's a whole different story. I know we heard a little bit out this morning, Brother Tabor, and I sure did enjoy his message. I'll be feasting off that for weeks. But my friend, the love of Christ and the Holy Ghost must compel you to go beyond these four walls, must compel you to do more. The righteousness of God, your experience, if your experience has not compelled you and constrained you to do more for God. In the past 6 months, I check up on my experience. I'd make sure that I was living soberly and living righteously before my God. Hallelujah. That was free. I had to pay for that. Praise God. Hallelujah. The book of Philippians, chapter number 2, verse number 5. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death of the cross. My friend, Jesus Christ is our ultimate example. Jesus Christ was the ultimate example of righteousness. I believe that. He was our one thing. We can say we pattern our life after Paul, pattern our life after Peter. This made me like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Everywhere he walked, everywhere he talked, everything he did was to the glory of God the Father. He said, no, not I, but Christ that liveth with him, is what Paul said. It's not us. It's supposed to be Christ. I'm talking about living righteously in this present world. My friend, Christ lived righteously, but he said even in that situation, he didn't stick himself above anywhere else. He said he thought it'd be equal with God, and then he was humble himself down to be obedient even to a servant. We know in the last days, when they were having that last feast, and he humbled himself. I believe that's what he's talking about here. He humbled himself. And the Bible says he began to wash people's feet. He took off his clothes, girded his loins, but began to wash people's feet. He knew exactly who was going to betray him. He knew exactly who was going to deny him. That was Peter. But yet he still humbled himself and said, I'm no better. I'm a man. Yet I'm going to humble myself and show you how to do it, boys. My friend, in this day and hour we're living in, there's a need for righteousness, but yet there's also a need for servitude in the house of God. My friend, we're living in a day and hour which we must serve others. We must be a kind and gentle person unto others. We must be led by the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, help us. Hallelujah. Living righteously. It's not all about standard. It's not all about living what we call quote-unquote holiness. It's about having the Spirit of Christ, having that mind of Christ. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I want that mind of Christ to live soberly and to live righteously in this present world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We know this in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 16. It says, let your light so shine before men that may see your works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now we know that we'll be judged according to our works, but it's not a prideful thing in order to serve someone. So many times I've seen some that will sit back even in our youth group today, and that's what I know about, so that's what I preach about. In our youth group today, we have a mentality of, I don't want to do it to show off. I don't want to do it to I don't want to just show myself off. I don't want to put myself out there, my friend. If it's, you don't have to worry about that, if it's for the glory of God the Father. He said to live righteously and live in that servitude mentality, obeying God and living righteously before man. Hallelujah. Let your works, hallelujah, so shine. Let your light so shine before man. Let me see your works and glorify the Lord which is in heaven. Hallelujah. We go on to this godliness. He said, teaching us denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. My friend, so many times, hallelujah, we get this godliness mixed up with this righteousness. Hallelujah. When there's definitely a difference. And I'm not sure if I got it all right, but I got a pretty idea, Brother John. A pretty good idea, Brother Donnell. This is my childlike mentality here. Godliness, if you look it up, I believe Strong's Concordance may say, means to live piously. To live godly means to live piously. If you don't know what piously means, it means to live reverently before God. My friend, we're living in a day and age which no one is scared of God anymore. You walk on the streets and people are cursing. You walk on the streets and people are making fun. You go out and preach and they'll make fun of you. You go knocking on doors and they'll say, why are you even doing this, man? This don't even work anymore. My friend, he said to live reverently and fearfully. We are so caught up sometimes in what people think, we forget that we need to not care about so much what people think as much as we do about what God thinks. He said to live godly. He said to live reverently in this present world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Help me, Jesus. Help me, God, to live reverently. To live, the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you always obey, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Now, we know that Paul was talking here. He wasn't talking about you figure it out for yourself, but he's talking about working out your own salvation. He's talking about going out and making sure that you are founded upon the rock, but making sure also that you found yourself upon the truth of God's word with fear and with trembling. And I'm so glad today that I one time found out who Christ was, and I found him myself and said, I don't care what man thinks. I don't care trying to please men. As Brother Gabbard said earlier this week, he said, no man owns me. That has stuck with me ever since he said that. No man owns you, friend, only Christ that lives within you. My friend, you need not fear what men think. Live fervently before God. Live reverently before God. And God will bless you. Hallelujah. Just the fundamentals here is all this is. Just the fundamentals of living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hallelujah. As I come to a close here, one more thing I want to make mention of. Hallelujah. He said, in this present world. Hallelujah. We all know about that, Brother Scott. We all know about this present world. We all know what it entails. Hallelujah. Some of us know a little better than others. Some of us have lived a little longer. But my friend, in this present world, he didn't say in your present church. He didn't say in your present house. He didn't say in your present congregation. He said in this present world. My friend, I'm back to where I was just a few minutes ago. If your salvation and your sanctification and your experience with God does not drive you outside of these four walls to do anything for him, you need to check up on your experience and realize somewhere along the line, I lost my soberness. Somewhere along the line, I lost my righteousness. And somewhere along the line, I lost my godly fear to do the will of God. No matter what comes against me, no matter where I'm at, no matter who's watching, I want God to fear. I want to fear God and God to anoint me. Hallelujah. I want to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. Praise the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. My friend, it's a call to you today. It's a call to you today. It's been real simple, I know. It's what God laid on my heart. I was praying this past month in June, youth camp. I was over here in the dorms praying, and God laid this message on my heart. And I don't know who it's for. I just feel like sometimes we need to be reminded of why we're here and what we're doing and of what God expects of us. Hallelujah. It's not always about what I can get. It's not always about what I can do. It's not always about me. But a lot of times, most of the time, all the time, it's about him. My friend, we're living in a world who was so self-centered and self-generated when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, go into the highways and to the byways. However, they went. Yet we've heard the word of God, and we don't go. My friend, I can't help but think there'd be a reason for that. I can't help but think there's a reason why we're still sitting here, and I'm not bashing and throwing stones by no means. But my friend, our numbers and our church services tell on us. Oh, come on now. I don't mean the Bible here, but it's the truth. The Spirit of God does not lie. The authority of God does not lie. My God in heaven, if we ever reach the time in our life, reach the time in our generation, Brother John, we need to step out and say, I don't care what this present world's doing. I'm going to live in it, and I'm going to live soberly. I'm going to live righteously, and I'm going to live godly in this present world. Hallelujah. If I could leave you one thing before I close. Hallelujah. I will leave you with this. Make sure that your experience is doing more than helping you pat a pew. Make sure your experience is doing more than calling you to sing in a church house. Make sure your experience is a little bit deeper than getting mad on the preacher on Wednesday night. Make sure, like he said last night, as I heard he said about your experience, make sure your foundation is secure. Make sure your experience is right with God. My friend, you may wonder, why are we preaching about this? Why are we saying this? Look around, friend. The young people I know, 10 or 12 of them are already gone. I know hundreds that have went out into this world, knowing the power, knowing the truth of God, yet they lack the experience, and they lack the ability to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about it? Hallelujah. Just challenge you one thing. Make sure your experience carries you somewhere. Make sure your experience challenges you. If I could challenge you one thing today, make sure before you leave this camp meeting that you have a little more to stand than you had when you came. Make sure you leave this camp meeting this week with just a little bit more. I know it's youth service, and this is the only service seemingly that surrounds our youth, and that's okay. I appreciate everyone that's here, but I'm preaching to these young people that they must have an experience. They must live soberly and aware. They must live righteously, and they must live godly in this present world. Oh, if you will, stand all over the house. Hallelujah, stand all over the house. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to give an altar call, but if you felt something in this service, and you feel like you need just to whisper a prayer, send up a prayer right now, we will just lift our hands and say, God, I want to live soberly. I want to live aware of everything around me, righteously in this present world. Most of all, I want to fear you. I want to do thy will. I want to hear the call of the ministry of God.